I hope it was everything that you hoped it to be, whether you wanted it to be restful or an adventure. I hope it was all those things. It's great to be with you this morning. I'm actually really excited about this Sunday. It's generally a smaller Sunday, as you can see, just because a lot of our friends are still, still on spring break, returning to campus. But what we do each year, we set aside today, the Sunday at the end of spring break, to do something special. And we call it our sharing service. And so it's a Sunday where we purposely set aside time to have the opportunity to share and encourage one another about what the Lord is doing in our lives. So this morning, we're actually going to be doing that in a variety of different ways. We'll have a little time of personal reflection. We'll have a time where we're going to pray for one another. And then we'll also have a time where there's an opportunity for any one of you to come up and to get to share something with all of us. And so just wanted to set the stage for that so you can be prepared, because it's definitely a little bit of a higher participation Sunday. So the theme of our sharing service this year is remembrance. And we chose that because there are so many times throughout Scripture that God calls his people to remember. I heard one stat that it was like 1,200, something like that. I haven't verified that, but I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. So again, God commands us to remember so many different things, to remember who he is, for example, or his holiness, his provision, how he's led us in the past, or his people, remembering his salvation, remember what we have received and what we've heard. And again, these are just to name a few of all the different things. And so, really, why are we told so many times and in so many ways to remember? Sorry, that's my little guy back there. He's kind of happy. So I think the most obvious, I can answer it for all of us, is because that as people, we are forgetful. And I don't know if you can relate to that. Can you see that in your own life? Do you tend to be forgetful? Certainly in Scripture, we see a lot of ways that God's people have been over the history of the church. And I remember the first time I read through the book of Exodus and then Deuteronomy, which is the story of God bringing his people out from the slavery in Egypt. And he did this with just miraculous signs and wonders. You know, he split the Red Sea, for example. And then he was with them faithfully for 40 years as they wandered in the desert. And this is so amazing to think about, but his presence was with them physically in the form of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. And then through those 40 years, each and every day, he provided manna from heaven, right? Something for them to eat, a tangible provision from the Lord himself. But then they get up to the promised land. And, well, throughout all the time in the wilderness, he says, hey, remember what it was like in Egypt. Remember what I did. Remember how I'm providing. And so they get up to the promised land, and God says, hey, you're going to go in, and you're going to be prosperous here. And when you are, don't forget me. Don't forget all the ways. Again, I have been with you, and I provided for you so that, you know, you still stay connected to the Lord. But what happens is that they do forget the Lord. And again, I just remember being so surprised by that. Like, how on earth, right? Like, you saw the Red Sea part, or you saw a pillar of fire for 40 years, or you ate food that was provided for you for heaven. Like, how can you forget? But again, then it didn't take long for me to realize, like, oh, wait a minute, that's me. Actually, that's me all the time, too. I can relate more with the Israelites than not. I just think of all the times and the ways that God has come through for me in my life, or shown me his truth, or who he is, and I'm so encouraged, or answered a prayer. But then it doesn't take long till, you know, the cares, or the concerns, or even the culture of our time just kind of erodes that perspective a little bit, and I'm left with, again, just a forgetfulness of what the Lord has done. And one example, I don't know if you can relate to this, but if you've ever had an injury, and when I have an injury, it feels so consuming, right? It affects your ability to do something, whether it's your foot or your hand or whatever. And so it's this ever-present kind of a nagging thing. You might pray about it. You certainly, you know, go to the doctor or do whatever it takes to heal, maybe physical therapy. And again, you talk about it, you tell people about it, you ask people for advice, and it's this ever-present thing. And then one day, it heals, and it goes away, and it's like a light switch for me. Like, I just don't think about it anymore, as if it had never happened. And I'm like, this is a good little picture of, again, maybe our tendency as people to possibly forget the Lord. So again, now it feels more obvious to me why so often we're exhorted in Scripture to remember. And so remembering what God calls us to, it's an actual discipline. It's an actual practice that takes intentionality. So it takes us setting time aside and not just remembering something, but remembering something specifically. And we are called because it's imperative for our walk of faith. And there's a lot of ways why it's imperative, but we're just going to look at three this morning in particular. And these are because it helps give us perspective and hope and gratitude. So we're going to start with a little bit of prayer. I'm just going to pray for us, and then we'll dive into each of these a little more thoroughly. Dear Lord, thanks again for waking us up, for bringing us here this morning. Lord, we just pray that your presence would come in, that it would fill this place, and that we would hear from you, that we would experience you, and that we would remember. And Lord, that we would walk out of this place with just a desire to, again, remember the things you've done and to remember who you are. Pray these things in your name. Amen. Okay, so first, remembering who the Lord is and what he has done for us gives us proper perspective. So in other words, our point of view is to be realigned to what true reality is, a reality with the Lord. And we remember that he is the Lord and that we are to follow him. And he's actually the main character of our lives, not ourselves, which again reorders so many things. And we're reminded that God is holy and that his ways are not our ways. They're higher than ours, but we are to know them and to walk in them. We are also reminded that we are deeply loved and cared for. And when we meditate on who God is and all the ways he has been faithful to us in the past, it really helps us trust him with the now and with our future, no matter what we may be going through. And so I want to first take some time to remember who the Lord is and some of the wonderful things he has done to help give us this perspective. And so in Psalm 103, King David walks us through this just beautifully. And so I wanted to read it together. It's on the page that we handed out to you. I didn't put it on the slide because there's so much to it, but I thought, hey, let's just read this out. Let's read the example of King David. And if you don't mind, let's read it together out loud. And then after we read this, I want us to just take a few minutes, maybe about 3 minutes, to reflect on this and to consider. Maybe as we read through this, God's going to, like, a few words are going to jump off the page. Maybe that's where we're going to sit and just meditate. But okay, let's read this together, and then we'll take some time. So Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Thanks, you guys. Sorry about all the missing T's. I'll have to fix that. So let's take 3 minutes now to just quietly reflect on what the Lord has to say here. Okay, thanks, everybody. And again, feel free to take these home, and if that wasn't enough time to spend more time just remembering the Lord. So again, remembering who the Lord is and what he has done not only gives us perspective, but it also can give us hope, and hope in the right place, in the Lord himself, who is a rock, instead of sometimes the other things we put our hope in, like other people or idols or circumstances, which all are just shifting sands. And so it's so important, especially when we feel anxious and afraid. And I think as people, we tend to feel these things a lot. And so again, we're going to kind of camp out in the Psalms moving to our next one, which is Psalm 34. It's another psalm by David. And this one's just really encouraging in terms of can we hope in the Lord, what this looks like, you know, who he is, how he has come through in terms of that. So again, we're going to do the same thing. I'm going to read through the whole thing, and please feel free to join me out loud as we read together. So Psalm 34, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and save those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Thanks, you guys. So I wonder for each of you, what stuck out to you? Was there something in this psalm? There's so many ways that it communicated that the Lord is near and that he's attentive to our cries, and he is able, and he cares, and he is strong enough to do something about it. And so in light of this hope that we can have as we consider the Lord in our present circumstances and in our future, I would like to take the next few minutes for us to get together in groups of three or four, whatever makes the most sense for your area. Thanks for some of you who have to move around a little bit. But get in groups, and I'd just like us to go around and to share something that we'd like to pray and ask the Lord for, and then take a minute to pray for one another. So it's okay if just one person wants to pray for everyone, or if all of you want to take part of it. I'm not going to give that much direction to it. And again, if you maybe there's something on your heart that is kind of sensitive that you don't want to share, you can just say, hey, could you pray for an unspoken prayer request? But we're going to take about 5 minutes, so if you don't mind just circling up again, groups of three or four, sharing and then praying with one another. Thanks. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for participating in that. And now this brings us to the final third aspect this morning that I'd love to place a focus on, and that is that it's important to remember, because remembering the Lord and what he has done helps stirs up our gratitude. And when we think about him, and again, you can think about what he's done through all of history or just in your own life, it can just fill us with that thankfulness. And that thankfulness encourages us, and it also rightly expands our faith in him and our joy in continuing to follow him and pursue him, just in hopeful anticipation. And so if you flip to the back of your verse sheet, there's one more verse. And again, it's by King David. It's Psalm 145. And again, I think this is just such an encouraging, gratifying verse. So we're going to read that together and then go from there. Okay, so Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Awesome. So it's so cool. I love this psalm again, because David just gets up and starts praising the Lord and saying all these great things. And some of them, you know, personal, a lot of them are just who the Lord is and things that he loves and what is true about them. And so for this portion of it, I thought that we would follow David's example and wanted to provide an opportunity. I'm going to just set the microphone right here. And for a few minutes, just to open up for any of us to come and to share, I have two questions that we can share about. They may or may not be on the screen. There we are. Okay, so the first one is, how has the Lord shown up in your life? Maybe there's just a cool story you have. Again, this could be a big thing, like a huge answered prayer or something amazing, or something little and small that just has spoken to you. The other question is, what do you thank God for? And again, simply, maybe it's something about who he is, his character. You don't have to go any deeper in that. Or maybe you can share with us just how that has played out in your life. And again, this is just an opportunity to spur one another on and encourage. I know when I hear other people's stories of how God's shown up, it just increases my faith as well. So, all right, so I'm going to, again, leave the microphone here. You guys can come up. If everybody wants to come up as one, you can form a line here. If we're waiting for a little bit for someone to come up and share, that's okay. You can just personally reflect on those questions, and that's okay too. And when we're out of time, I'll come up and close us off. So thanks, you guys. Okay, I have something to share too that I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for how God shows up for me in just little small ways that I know it's him. So two ways the last just week happened. I'm a STEM teacher at a local grade school here, and I was putting together a STEM lesson, and we were making telescopes, and I needed paper towel rolls, and so I saved them all year, and it turns out I was too short, and I was like, oh no, what am I going to do? And so I'm just kind of sitting there in my classroom in this moment, and I hear a knock at the door, and I open it, and there's a student who's holding a paper towel roll, and I was like so confused. I was like, what are you doing here, and why are you holding that? You know, it was like this shock, like literally in there in this moment. In STEM, we use a lot of recycled materials, but in the 4 years I've been teaching, no one has ever just come in the middle of the day to drop off anything to me. And so he's like, oh, my teacher just told me to take this down to you. And I was like, this is crazy. Tell her this is an answer to prayer. I can't believe it. I'm too short. And so he goes back. He comes back like 2 minutes later with another paper towel roll. He's like, oh, she actually had to. And I was just like, Lord, thank you so much. Like, it's those little things of feeling like, oh, he sees me. The second thing that happened, H2O had a spring break retreat this past weekend, which is sweet. And before we, Sayla and I were shopping for little welcome bags, and we wanted to make them kind of like, you know, cabin-y, hikey, woodsy themes. And so we found these little lanterns that were kind of cheesy, like a little bit useless in a sense, but we were like, oh, they're so cute. Like, we're compelled to buy them. And so we put them in all the welcome bags. And then Sunday night, the power went out. And it was like, oh my goodness, we all have these little lanterns that we happen to bring. And I just, again, that was a reminder of like, the Lord goes before us. You know, I don't know what made us like feel like we had to buy these, but it just felt like being seen, being provided for, being cared for, without even knowing, you know, what we would need in the future. So anyways, I wanted to share that. I feel very thankful to God for that. So, all right, and thank you guys for all the participation this morning. Yeah, it's just encouraging. And my hope and my prayer is that some of these verses and some of these exercises this morning we can take out of here and kind of establish different habits and patterns in our own lives to just help us make time to remember the Lord, what he has done, and that our walk of faith will be strengthened again as we maintain a godly perspective and a hope that defies our circumstances and a gratitude that really deeply defines our lives. And so with that, we're going to wrap up this portion. I'd love to invite the band to come back up, and we are going to, as they lead us in a time of worship, we're going to have three songs to close out. But we are going to take part in the practice of communion, and it's actually a practice that the Lord Jesus instituted the night before he was betrayed to help us do the very thing that we've been focusing on this morning, which is to remember. And so I wanted to read a verse in 1 Corinthians, it's chapter 11, describing exactly how this communion was established. So it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night before he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took a cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So again, during the next three worship songs, if you would like to remember the Lord in this way and proclaim what he has done, feel free to come up the center. Right here is normal elements. In the clear bowls over there, they're gluten-free. So you can just take that and then maybe go back to your seat through the sides. And appreciate it. Thanks.